Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, Tom Allen here, and as the minute waltz fades away, it is a joy and a privilege to welcome you to Just a Minute, and of course to welcome our remote audience joining us from their homes all over the UK and perhaps even around the world. I'll also introduce four talented and lovely people who are playing Just a Minute this week. On my right, Paul Merton and Josie Lawrence, and on my left, Felicity Ward and Mark Watson. If you've heard the show before, you know I'll be asking them to speak on a subject that I give them for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. So we turn first to Mark Watson, and the subject on the card is Nirvana. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition, or deviation on Nirvana? Your time starts now.
Nirvana is the name of an enormously successful rock music band containing a famous frontman, an excellent drummer, and a third guy who nobody now remembers. They were active largely in the 90s and inspired an enormous worldwide legion of enthusiasts, even though they did not record that much music because of the tragic and untimely death of their totemic figure, Kurt Cobain, who sadly died.
There was a buzz there from Josie.
Hesitation. He sadly died.
Yes, so I thought the word was died.
It's also very hard to tell with Mark because he does. That is part of his natural pattern to think.
Now, Josie, that was a correct challenge, so that means you get the point. But also, the subject of Nirvana now moves to you. You have 33 seconds left on the clock, and your time starts now.
There was a wonderful man once who was searching for something, so he decided to sit under a tree for 40 days. This brilliant being was Buddha, and he achieved...
I'm afraid there's a buzz there. Sorry, Josie. Paul has interrupted.
Well, if he's searching for something, it's pointless to sit under a tree for 40 days unless the thing he's looking for is sitting next to him.
No, because he's searching for something in his head. So he needs to sit down to search for it.
Oh, you didn't make that clear.
I was about to.
No, I think a search can begin under the tree. Maybe they were thinking about the path they were going to take. I do not accept that challenge, I'm afraid, Paul. Josie, 20 seconds still on the clock. The subject remains with you, Nirvana, and your time starts now.
Yes, Nirvana is a state of enlightenment that you reach. You get rid of ego and any worries you might have. And during this lockdown, I thought, perhaps I'll try and get to Nirvana. So I decided to meditate in my living room, but it's really blooming hard to do because
Wonderful! Josie, you were speaking when the whistle blew. We now move to Felicity Ward. A lovely subject for you, ghost chilies. Will you be able to talk for 60 seconds about ghost chilies? Your time starts now.
I actually have COVID. This is my last day of isolation. And so I've been looking up things that I can eat because I have no sense of taste nor smell. So I've actually been looking at ghost chilies this week on the internet, Wikipedia, more specifically. There are different colours. There are orange, red, charcoal, I believe. That could be a lie. I'm not quite sure. And they were voted in 2007 as the Guinness Book of Records. Oh, come on, guys.
Mark, challenge there. Mark, what is your challenge?
My challenge was, and of course there's an etiquette about being polite to the newcomer, but at the point where she actually said, oh, come on, guys, and begged us to challenge, I felt that probably does count as hesitation.
That is a correct challenge. An excellent start from Felicity, but the topic now moves to you, Mark. You have 26 seconds left on the clock. Ghost chilies, and your time starts now.
Ghost chilies is a topic about which I know absolutely nothing, but yeah.
Oh, we should have given you a grace period there as well, but unfortunately, Mark,
I don't think so. I think that being able to put sentences together is sort of a minimum requirement, really, for this show.
Now, Felicity, you challenged there. What was it? What was your challenge?
I think there was a slight hesitation. I think it was when his tongue fell out of his mouth.
I think you're absolutely correct there, Felicity. The topic passes back to you. Ghost chilies, you have 21 seconds left on the clock and your time starts now.
So it was voted the most hot chili in the world, the ghost chili, and it's mostly found in Mexico, if I remember correctly. The thing about chilies...
Oh, there's a challenge there. Paul, you buzzed. What was your challenge?
Yes, there was a repetition of chili.
There was a repetition of chili.
If it's in the word, though, because it's ghost chili, isn't it?
You can have the word chilies, but you cannot have the word chili, I would say.
Chili.
Oh, that's unlucky.
Oh.
Would you say, Paul? I mean, you've buzzed in, Paul. You're much more experienced than I am.
That's right, yes. Chili and chilies are the two separate words.
Yeah, it's not countdown. So, sorry for listening. Paul Merton, that was a correct challenge. You have 8 seconds left on the clock to talk about the topic of ghost chilies, and your time starts now.
As my mother moved slowly through the castle, I could see that the plate in her hand contained nothing more than ghost chilies. It was midnight. It was the time...
Excellent work there, Paul. And an extra point there because you were speaking when the whistle blew. Our next topic falls to Josie Lawrence. Now, let's see what the cards have in store for you. Ah, the topic of infinity. Will you be able to talk about infinity for 60 seconds? We hope so.
Well, I might go on a bit.
We'll find out. Josie, your time starts now.
How strange that I only have one tiny minute to talk about the huge subject of infinity. Infinity is endless. It has no boundaries. Or, like that song I used to dance to, there is no limit. Infinity is limitless. Now, many philosophers and mathematicians going back thousands of years have been intrigued by the concept of integrity. I, believe it or not, am not a mathematician or...
Paul, buzz there. Paul, what is your challenge?
Well, why have they been fascinated by integrity when the subject on the card is infinity?
Oh, that is a good challenge.
Did I say integrity?
I think you did.
Right.
I'm afraid Paul is correct there.
Absolutely.
You have 25 seconds left on the clock to talk about infinity, and your time starts now.
When the Big Bang happened and the universe exploded, there are many experts that believe that that explosion has taken it into further and more distant fields. Infinity is an area which we can think about and say to ourselves, is it possible to imagine infinity? It is for me, because I'm talking in a complete vacuum here. I can't hear what anybody else is saying, and I can only assume that these words will one day go out on Radio 4 or they'll be played back to me at some kind of tribunal.
We did hear you, Paul. We did hear you, and we heard that you were talking when the whistle blew, so you do get an extra point for that.
How lovely.
How lovely that it is now your turn. And the subject of the perfect cup of tea. Do you know anything about the perfect cup of tea? Well, I think we're about to find out, aren't we?
No, but I can make something up.
Paul Merton, the perfect cup of tea. Your time starts now.
Well, I suppose the perfect cup of tea can be defined in several ways. First of all, you can say to yourself, how would I make the perfect cup of tea? Water must be boiled, presumably in a kettle or some similar device, and then poured onto a tea bag or maybe loose leaf tea. I've heard a bell bing 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 bong. What happened then? What was that?
I had something come up on my calendar. I'm so sorry. It came out of my phone.
Stop the clock, Caroline.
I'm so sorry.
I've been heckled by time. Shouldn't that have been in the last round in infinity?
Paul, the topic is still with you. We are talking about the perfect cup of tea. You have 36 seconds left on the clock, and your time starts now.
A perfect cup of tea may also refer to perhaps to the people you're sharing the perfect cup of tea with. Perhaps your parents, mum and dad.
A challenge there from Felicity. Was it a challenge, or was it just another reminder about something she's doing in a half an hour's time?
I had it on my leg to keep it away from the microphone so it wouldn't buzz. I obviously have very warm thighs. I'm so sorry.
Warm thighs is not an acceptable challenge.
There's nothing she can do about the temperature of her thighs, to be fair.
I'm sorry, Paul gives me warm thighs when he talks about cups of tea.
It was perhaps a reminder earlier to cool your thighs. That was, again, another incorrect challenge, I'm afraid, Felicity. We now return to Paul Merton to continue talking about the perfect cup of tea. You have 30 seconds and your time starts now.
30 seconds is hardly enough time to go over what I've already said, so I'll say something else. In the circumstances of climbing Mount Everest, you might have a perfect cup of tea as you've climbed up the top of that mountain and you've said to yourself, I have at last reached my life's ambition. I am on the tallest peak in the world. A cup of tea would be absolutely delicious now. Water, of course, at that altitude boils at a slightly different rate than it would at ground level. You would take that into account because you have everything you need in terms of Darjeeling, English breakfast.
Paul, a very insightful minute there, talking about the perfect cup of tea. And of course, you were speaking when the whistle blew. So you get an extra point for that.
Thank you.
At the end of all that, Paul is in the lead with 3 points. Josie, not far behind with 2. Mark and Felicity, not far behind at all with 1 point. Okay, Mark, we're back with you now. And the subject on the card is the house they'd put me in Hogwarts. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition, or deviation? Your time starts now.
I am the last person in the world to read the Harry Potter books. I have recently embarked upon them with my 6-year-old.
Oh, a challenge there from Paul. Paul, what is your challenge, please?
Deviation. I haven't read them. So he isn't the last person in the world to read them. It's outrageous.
I think on this occasion, since Mark was using it as a rhetorical device, I think it's an acceptable turn of phrase to use, Mark. And so I'm going to say that the topic stays with you and you have 53 seconds left on the clock and your time starts now.
As far as I can divine so far, one Hogwarts house has heroes in it, one has sneaky people, and two have no discernible characteristics whatsoever.
Oh, a challenge there from Felicity.
He repeated the word one. He said one has this and one has that and two have this.
That is true.
Correct. Absolutely correct. So now the topic passes to you. You will be talking about the house they put me in Hogwarts. You have 40 seconds left on the clock and your time starts now.
I found out there were 4 houses in Hogwarts. I haven't read the books, but I have seen the films. We started watching them on Christmas Eve and watched each film per evening up until New Year's Eve. Gryffindor is one of the houses. I believe that's the one that Harry Potter is in. And I think it's for nerds with glasses, seems to be one of the characteristics. You're a do-gooder. You like to do... you like to hesitate. Come on.
Mark, you challenged.
On hesitation.
That was hesitation, I'm afraid, Felicity. And the topic now passes to you. The house they put me in Hogwarts. 12 seconds left. Your time starts now.
The house I would be in Hogwarts is something of a moot point because I am a 40-year-old man and very unlikely to be invited to sign up for the famous Magical Academy, which largely tutors young folk in the arts of conjuring.
Excellent, Mark. You were speaking there when the whistle blew, and that means you get an extra point. Now, Felicity, a giraffe.
Ah.
Can you speak without hesitation on a giraffe? We'll find out. You have 60 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now.
I'd like to say that a giraffe is my favourite animal. It isn't. It's the lemur. But I will continue to talk about the giraffe. It's the tallest land animal, tallest terrestrial one.
That was a challenge there from Josie.
Was it a repetition of tallest?
It was, I'm afraid. It was. That means the topic of a giraffe now moves to you. You have 48 seconds left on the clock and your time starts now.
I love giraffes. I've got giraffe print on one of the sofas in my living room. I always thought it was strange, if there's a good lord up there that creates things, to have created this horse-type bottom, a long neck, and then I realised,
I'm sorry, I've been challenged there by Felicity. Felicity, what was your challenge there?
I think there was a slight hesitation on creation. I feel like there was a roll of the tongue to cover a hesitation, a creation.
The roll of my tongue has got me in trouble many a time.
I understand.
Hesitation. There was a bit, but no, I think I will allow Josie to get away with that. I think a roll of the tongue is okay. I like to do it myself sometimes, just to enunciate an R. So, Josie, the topic remains with you. We're talking about a giraffe. You have 31 seconds left on the clock. Your time starts now.
I'm not sure if this is true, but I did hear once that these majestic animals... I said animals and I myself go.
Oh, that's the... I tried to be nice to you before, Josie, but I'm afraid I've given up the will to live. So, yes, that was obviously, I mean, Mark, you challenged there. Come on, tell us, what was the challenge?
I thought there was the inkling of a hesitation.
And she said the word Hannibals, which doesn't exist. Mark, you have 22 seconds left on the clock and your time starts now.
A giraffe, as we have heard, is the loftiest of land creatures. And one sometimes wonders whether it is an advantage to be quite so exalted, or perhaps it might be something of an inconvenience. After all, on an aeroplane, it is most decidedly not a good thing to have those extra inches. One is...
Oh, challenge there from Josie.
Oh, again, not sure, but I think a repetition of thing.
Very likely, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that was so close to the end, though.
That was a great challenge there, Josie. So the topic of giraffes moves to you. You have just 5 seconds, and your time starts now.
Giraffes have beautiful long eyelashes and apparently no...
Oh, there was a challenge, to be honest. Paul, you did challenge just before the whistle was blown there. We had just a mere probably 1 second left.
I did hear giraffes being repeated.
And the topic is a giraffe, is it?
You are right, Paul.
Yeah.
You have 1 second left on the clock to talk about the subject of a giraffe. Your time starts now.
They're about that high. They go right up to the ceiling.
Speaking when the whistle blew, Paul there scores the extra point. Josie.
Yeah, my darling.
I'm very excited to be starting this next one with you. And the topic is my mother's roast potatoes. My mother's roast potatoes. You have 60 seconds and your time starts now.
My dear departed mother's roast potatoes were absolutely gorgeous. What memories. And it's the simplicity of how she made them. Always using King Edward's potatoes. He didn't mind one of Dad's jokes. And she peeled them, cut in half, and then parboiled while Mum made the roast potatoes. Another one of my family's little nippity things. But what they'd do was she'd turn...
Challenge there from Paul Merton. Paul.
Yeah, so I didn't get the last joke. What was that one?
It wasn't a joke, actually. It was one of her family's nippity things.
Oh, I see, because from where I'm sitting, it sounded like inconsequential twaddle.
I'm going to say, no, that was not a correct challenge. I quite like the joke. We are returning to Josie for the subject, my mother's roast potatoes. You have 31 seconds left on the clock, Josie, and your time recommences now.
The trick is in the tossing, preferably in a metal colander, to make the edges of the potatoes all the way around flick up. Then use extremely hot sunflower oil or beef dripping if it was a day when we were being posh, and bung it into the oven. They came out golden crisp and fluffy in the middle. Ah, brother and sister, sit down round the kitchen table. Now we're all over 6 foot apart from me, and we said
Josie gets the extra point there for speaking when the whistle blew. Paul, your topic is feng shui. You have 60 seconds and your time starts now.
Feng shui is an anagram of shei feng, and it's a Chinese philosophy that goes back many thousands of years, which has been taken up in the Western world in the last few decades. It's a belief that there is an energy, the Chinese word for it is qi, and it flows from room to various other places where you might live. And it's important to put your furniture, mirrors particularly, in an appropriate place where this very special power can be channeled through your house in such a manner that you can feel to yourself that you are tuned in to the hum of the universe. There are some people who use this. There was a couple in Leeds, I remember, who were consulting an expert all the time, and they kept coming back to him because he said, oh no, I wouldn't buy this house. You'll have to go and look for another one. And they were paying him 200 quid every time.
Challenge there from Mark Watson. Mark, what is your challenge?
Well, I think the word house was repeated, but yes. It's absolutely mesmerising, really, when he's in full flow, so I don't know.
I think I did say house.
Mark, that was a correct challenge. The topic now passes to you. We are talking about feng shui. You have 11 seconds left on the clock, and your time starts now.
Feng shui is just one of various Eastern-inspired, semi-mystical ways of thinking about energy and life, which have become increasingly popular in recent times, perhaps because of our awareness that we are all...
Mark was speaking there when the whistle blew, and Paul and Mark are neck and neck on 6. Josie has 5 and Felicity has 2. So, it's all to play for, all to play for. We now move to Felicity Ward and the topic of ambrosia. Can you speak without hesitation on ambrosia? Or is it ambrosia? No, I'm thinking of the Devon custard. Can you speak without hesitation on ambrosia? You have 60 seconds left on the clock and your time starts now.
Ambrosia is the food of the gods, and I believe it can be anything that your hearts desire. What you find pleasant is what ambrosia is. I, for example, would have a roast dinner, maybe some of Josie's mum's potatoes. Chicken is what I would choose, full of parsley and lemon, butter, carrots, parsnips, grilled, not grilled, because...
A challenge there from Paul. What was it?
Well, it was a hesitation.
Amongst many things.
Yes, it was. It was. Great challenge from Paul. 32 seconds left on the clock, and your time starts now.
There was a song called Ambrosia in the musical that starred Michael Crawford at Drury Lane, Billy. The music was by John Barry, lyrics by Don Black, and this opening number was a fantastic performance because the stage was filled with many dancers as the eponymous star came down from the ceiling, held up by a parachute, and descended slowly towards the surface of the performing area. It was the most magnificent entrance, and the song Ambrosia, I can still remember it now. Ambrosia. Unfortunately, I'm not a singer.
Paul, speaking there when the whistle sounded, Paul, you get the extra point there.
Thank you.
Josie Lawrence, one for you now. The Spy Who Loved Me. There are 60 seconds and your time starts now.
The Spy Who Loved Me is a movie, James Bond, starring Roger Moore. But The Spy Who Loved Me would be gorgeous, tall, dark, handsome. The Spy Who Loved Me, I'd find out about him because of the text messages. The red fox leapt over the folded duvet would really be code for put the kettle on, darling, I'm at the chippy. The Spy Who Loved Me would have a friend called Q who was constantly sending parcels full of gadgets. Many a time I'd lean over to grab a biro pen and suddenly a helicopter had been the blooming kitchen. The Spy Who Loved Me enjoyed taking trips onto the duck pond at the local park, where we'd go down in our mini nuclear submarine, scaring the carp, the coots, and the mallards. The Spy Who Loved Me would be sensuous, just one touch from his hand, and my impossibly low-cut dress would.
Oh, amazing. Our first full minute. Josie Lawrence, everybody. An incredible, incredible.
He sounds really nice, Josie.
He does sound good, though, doesn't he?
He does sound great. And I love ducks. So,
I love the foxy duvet. Actually, I've got foxes on my duvet.
Oh, no. Well, no wonder your thighs are so warm. Now, Josie Lawrence, you were speaking... You not only spoke for an entire minute, but you were speaking when the whistle blew. So you did very well there, didn't you? Very well. And you got 2 points.
Thank you.
Moving now into the final round. Paul Merton, we're back with you again. And our last topic is the last thing I'll ever do. You have 60 seconds on the clock and your time starts now.
Well, I suppose the last thing I'll ever do will be something like saying to the person next to me...
Josie buzzed there.
That was it. That was the last thing I'll ever do. I died.
Josie, you challenged there. I wonder what?
Hesitation, I think.
Yes.
Josie, we move to you now because that was a correct challenge. You have 51 seconds left. The topic is the last thing I'll ever do. And your time starts now.
Well, it's difficult because the last thing I'll ever do will be the last thing I'll ever do. So how will I know about it? Unless St. Peter is up there, I guess, at the pearly gates. Tell me the last thing that you've ever done. And I would say, probably, breathe out, because that will be the last thing I'll ever do on this earth anyway. But maybe there'll be another place that I'll transcend to and start doing other things. Until then, I don't really want to think about the last thing I'll ever do. I want to dream of the last thing I'll ever do today and then do something else tomorrow. For let us not worry in these terrible times about the last...
Oh, challenge there from Paul Merton. Paul.
I would say that we've strayed away slightly from the last thing I'll ever do by talking about what we're doing tomorrow.
But talking about tomorrow might be the last thing I'll ever do.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I hope not. Touch wood.
I think, no, Josie is able to talk about the subject in terms of the last thing I'll do today, whether that includes tomorrow. I think that's part, it's all part of the idea of talking about time. So I disregard that challenge, I'm afraid, Paul. And you have 3 seconds left, Josie Lawrence, to tell us about the last thing I'll ever do. Your time starts now.
The last thing I'll ever do will be simply a memory. When...
Wonderfully done there, Josie, and speaking again when the whistle blew. So you get the bonus point there. And at the end of the game, well, they all played marvellously, but as the final whistle goes, Felicity has 3, Mark has 6, Paul has 8, and our winner this week is Josie with 9. Well done, everyone. But there, I'm afraid we have to leave you. On behalf of all the team, Josie Lawrence, Mark Watson, Paul Merton and Felicity Ward, we thank Ian Messiter, who devised the show, Caroline Barlow, who blew her whistle so delicately, and our producer, Victoria Lloyd, who makes the show for BBC Studios. This is Tom Allen saying thanks for listening, and do join us again when we next play Just a Minute. Goodbye.